KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have a shower and 56 degrees in Atlantic. So far, we picked up over an inch and a half of rainfall, 14 to 100s within the past hour, for a total of 1.54 inches. We look for showers and thunderstorms this morning, and then again later this afternoon, a high around 72. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In Southwest Iowa News, police in Creston say a man was arrested late last week on an assault charge. Authorities said today that 21-year-old Tyler White of Creston was arrested just before 7 p.m. Thursday at a residence in the 600 block of North Pine Street. White was charged with simple assault and later released on $300 bond. And 62-year-old Donald Vincent Jr. of Des Moines was arrested Sunday afternoon at the Union County Law Enforcement Center in Creston on a Union County warrant for failure to appear in court. Vincent Jr. was being held in the Union County Jail while awaiting a 7-day jail sentence. A judge has scheduled hearings to reconsider sentences given to two women who pleaded guilty in connection with a staged bank robbery in Sioux City. The judge has scheduled hearings for tomorrow in which he will decide whether he will amend the sentences he gave to 19-year-old Heaven Zevenbergen and 19-year-old Angelica Perez. Zevenbergen and Perez both pleaded guilty to second-degree theft. They were sentenced to 5 years in prison in February. Prosecutors said Perez entered a Security National Bank branch at a Hy-Vee supermarket last August in Sioux City in disguise and warned Zevenbergen via a note that she was armed. According to prosecutors, Zevenbergen, then a teller at the bank, knew Perez and gave her $10,000. Rushing through a security checkpoint to catch a flight can be costly for anyone who leaves something behind. The TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, says it recovered more than $765,759 in loose change travelers left behind last year. The Sioux City Journal reports that wasn't much of a problem in Sioux City, though. David Daly, who oversees the TSA at Iowa Airport, says no change was found at the Sioux City checkpoint between October 1st and March 30th. Daly said the airport is small enough that security officers are usually able to return anything passengers leave behind before they depart. At all of Iowa's airports, $1,932.74 in change was collected last year. The largest total at any one airport nationwide was just over $55,086 that was collected at the Los Angeles International Airport. One of the 60 Iowa Army National Guard soldiers who left on Mother's Day for a year-long deployment in Afghanistan as a mother of four, Jessica Honecke, expected that leaving her kids and not being able to be with them every day will be the hardest part of her deployment. But Honecke has deployed before, so she knows roughly what to expect. She's part of the 185th Combat Sustainment Support Battalion based in Camp Dodge in Johnston. While Honecke is gone, her kids, ages 3 to 12, will be cared for by her husband, her mother-in-law, and friends. County jails in Iowa will soon follow new federal rules aimed at making it cheaper for inmates to call loved ones. But a pending lawsuit is expected to complicate the effort. The cost of certain telephone calls made from the nearly 100 jails in Iowa can range by county. Officials who oversee the facilities are expected to comply with some reduced phone rates and fees by June 20th. But other reductions are on hold amid a lawsuit by some telecommunications companies that provide the phone services. The companies are challenging the legality of the rules. Lawsuit proceedings made jail inmates in Iowa will continue to pay different prices despite recent relief at state prisons. Advocates say the Iowa legislature should set uniform telephone rates. Some law enforcement officials argue such regulation before the lawsuit is settled could complicate the issue. Elsewhere in the news, the Iowa Democratic Party formally launched its review of the 2016 caucuses this weekend with a public meeting in Des Moines, and they plan to release a report in September with recommendations for how the 2020 caucuses should be conducted. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
Iowa Democratic Party Chairwoman Andy McGuire appointed the review panel. She opened the meeting Saturday with these words.
There is no suggestion that is off the table.
Hillary Clinton finished a quarter of a percentage point ahead of Bernie Sanders in the Iowa caucuses. The Sanders campaign complained there was no way to conduct a recount. Plus, there were concerns about tiny venues and long lines for Democrats who turned out February 1st. 26 Iowa Democrats are reviewing what happened caucus night. Jeff Kaufman, the chairman of the Iowa Republican Party, was invited to speak to them.
We all know that we sink or swim together on Iowa First the Nation. It's that simple. This is important to all of us.
Republicans made changes after their controversial 2012 Iowa caucus finish. The Iowa Republican Party spent nearly $1 million putting on its 2016 Iowa caucuses. Kaufman says constant nonstop training for the volunteers who run the precinct-level meetings was crucial. I'm O.K. Henderson.
Millennials have emerged as the nation's largest living generation, yet that demographic shift isn't reflected in the upper reaches of the Republican-controlled Senate, where the chamber's oldest members are the power brokers. And several are asking voters for new six-year terms. At 82, Iowa's Chuck Grassley, the Republican chairman of the Judiciary Committee, is seeking a seventh term. Arizona's John McCain, the 79-year-old chairman of the Armed Services Committee, is also running for re-election. Who else? Well, you could find Alabama's Richard Shelby, the Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee chairman, who turned 82 on Friday. He's running again. And Georgia's Johnny Isaacson, who's 71 and leads the Veterans Affairs Committee and the Senate Ethics Panel. Overall, 10 of the Senate's 16 standing committees are chaired by white Republican men over the age of 70. A town in southern Iowa is just one of five small communities across the country to land help from the federal government on economic development initiatives. Ethan Pitt, executive director of the Decatur County Development Corporation, says Leon will receive strategic planning assistance through the EPA's Cool and Connected program.
Ultimately, the EPA is partnering with myself and a steering committee of Leon residents to talk about and to put together a strategic plan that uses broadband to revitalize our downtown square.
The selection of Leon and the small towns in four other states was revealed last week by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. The plan for Leon involves a Wi-Fi zone in its downtown square, a free Wi-Fi that is, and Pitt believes it'll benefit both local residents and businesses.
Just the idea and the concept that there is Wi-Fi that's available downtown will hopefully bring in more foot traffic just to the area.
Leon has a population of roughly 1,800 residents.
You know, we might be small, we might be rural, we might have economic stress, but we can be just as innovative as anybody else can. So that's really the underlying message.
EPA officials are scheduled to visit Leon in early August, just days after the Decatur County community plays host to an overnight stop of Ragbri on July the 26th. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.